Let us pray. Almighty and merciful Father, we thank you that you have presented us with all heavenly gifts in Jesus Christ, and pray you to illumine us with your Spirit, that we may be prepared for the eternal praise of your name, through him, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. This morning we turn to the Sea of Galilee in our series of reflections on sites in the Holy Land. And the first slide, which is up, shows the entrance into the museum where the ancient Galilee boat is. We actually started off our sail across Lake Galilee from this point. Well, each day we went out and came back, we were staying beside the Sea of Galilee, so we had the opportunity to swim and do some exercise. That's myself in the middle and two of our friends from the United States, North Dakota. Next slide, please. So that's the a kind of replica of the actual ancient boat. And we were told that this was discovered. This boat was discovered in 1986 here in the Sea of Galilee. The actual boat, thank you. The actual boat is in the museum in Jerusalem. So this is just a kind of replica of that actual boat. And when you visit, you have the opportunity to see that. So this is part of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And this is actually part of what you see is part of Capernaum, where Jesus started his ministry. Well, it is believed that the home of James and Andrew, two of the disciples of Jesus, was found somewhere around this area. Well, that's the bridge crossing. When you get out of the boat, you cross this small bridge and get into Capernaum. Those are the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and it is in that area that Jesus actually began his ministry and where he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all these and the rest of the disciples who stayed under his command and authority when he taught them. So actually we are told in our text this morning that Jesus went on the boat because there were many people, and so the boat was like his pulpit because he was preaching from the boat. But while Jesus used the boat as a pulpit, we were using it to take selfies. Actually, you can't see my hand, but my hand was somewhere there. So that's us inside the boat. So let us get back to a few thoughts about what we can talk about the Sea of Galilee this morning. The Sea of Galilee is also called Lake Genesaret in Hebrew, and it's about 33 miles in circumference, and its maximum depth is 150 feet. It is thought that during the first century AD, there were at least 16 harbors around the lake. The harbor of Gadara on the southeastern corner was the largest. And at 60 feet below sea level, the Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake on earth. The lake is partially fed by underground springs, but its main source is the Upper Jordan River, which flows into the lake from the north. Originating in the Mount Hermon area to the north, this section of the Jordan River brings water that is desperately needed, or snow melt and rainfall that is desperately needed to the Sea of Galilee. But the water also exits the Sea of Galilee on the southern end and flows southward to form the lower Jordan River. I've already mentioned to you that Because of the low level of the lake, which dropped so substantially, a first century AD boat was discovered in 1986 along the muddy shores of the Genosa Gibbots. That's a small village around the area of the Sea of Galilee. The area around the Sea of Galilee was the primary place where Jesus Christ did his ministry. And we are told that it was around this area that he called his first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who were all fishermen, to be part of his close group of followers. And these four fishermen, along with eight others, chose to sit at the feet of Jesus as committed disciples. They were willing and they desired so much to learn from the Master. And Jesus taught them from the shorelines of Galilee, as well as from a boat anchored a short distance from the shore. We are reminded this morning from our text that Jesus left the house and went to the lakeside where he sat down to teach. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while the crowd stood on the shore, he used parables to tell them many things. Once there was a man who went out to sow corn. As he scattered the seed in the field, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where there was very little soil. The seed soon sprouted, but when the sun came up, it burnt the young plants, and because the roots had not grown deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants. But some seed fell in good soil, and the plants produced corn. Some produced 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. In this passage, Jesus Christ is using the here and now to get to the there and then. Probably, as Jesus was using the boat as his pulpit by the lakeside, in one of the fields near the shore, a sower was actually sowing. And Jesus took the sower, whom they could all see, as a text, and began to teach them. Look at the sower, there sowing his seed in the field. And the parable has two lessons. The first is a warning to all of us who hear the word. There are different ways of accepting the word of God, and the fruit which it produces depends on the heart of him or her who accepts it. The fate of any spoken word depends on the hearer. Who then are the hearers described and warned in the parable? There is the hearer who has shut his or her mind. Because there are many people into whose mind the word has no more chance of gaining entry than the seed has of setting into the ground that has been beaten hard by many feet. And there are many things that can shut our minds. Maybe prejudice can make us blind to everything we do not wish to see or hear. The unteachable spirit in us can erect a barrier which cannot easily be broken down. The unteachable spirit can result from one of two things. It can be the result of pride, which does not know that it needs to know. And it can be the result of the fear of new truth and the refusal to adventure on the ways of thought. Sometimes, dear friends, an immoral character and a way of life can shut our minds. There may be truths which condemn the things we love and which accuses the things we do. But they are true, or is the truth. And many of us refuse to listen or to recognize the truth which condemns us. But deliberately refusing to see the truth is the real blindness. Then secondly, there is the hearer with the mind like the shallow ground. These are the ones who fail to think things out and think them through. Some people are at the mercy of every new ideology. They take a thing up very quickly and also drop it so quickly. They always want to be in the fashion. They begin some new hobby or begin to acquire some new accomplishment with enthusiasm, but the thing becomes difficult and they abandon it. Or the enthusiasm wanes and they lay it aside. Some people's lives are littered with things they began and never finished. We can easily be like that, and it can easily be like that when it comes to the Word of God. When we hear it, we may be swept off our feet with emotional reactions. But no one can live on an emotion. We have minds, and it is a moral obligation to have an intelligent faith, not an emotional one. Christianity has its demands, and these demands must be faced before it can be accepted. When we come to Christ and we say that we have given our lives to Christ, that we are born again Christians, it is not the kind of giving our lives to Christ when we do it in church and take it back on our way home. Then there is the hearer who has so many interests in life that often the most important things get crowded out. We become too busy to pray, so preoccupied with other things that we forget to study the Word of God, so involved in church committees and good works and charitable services that we leave ourselves no time for Him from whom all love and service come. That is our good God. Then there are those who are like good ground. In their reception of the word, there are four stages. Like the good ground, their minds are open. They are at all times willing to learn, prepared to hear, never either proud, too proud, or too busy to listen. And many people would have been saved from all kinds of heartbreak if they had simply stopped to listen to the voice of a wise friend or to the voice of God. Such listeners have understood. They have thought the things out and know what this means for them, and are prepared to accept the word. They translate their hearing into action. They produce the good fruit of the good seed. The real hearer is the one who listens, the one who understands, the one who obeys, and the one who impacts the lives of others. Let me bring this to a conclusion by returning to the Sea of Galilee, where we began. It is both the inflow and outflow of water that keeps the Sea of Galilee fresh. In comparison, the Dead Sea has an inflow of water, but no outflow. How is this connected to the Christian life? The life of the disciple of Christ is all about the outflow of the inflow of the overflow of what Christ has done for us. To receive from Christ is inflow, and to give to others is outflow. And this is how followers of Christ should live. It is the outflow of Jesus' love from the abundant overflow of what we have already received from Him through the Word that makes us spiritually alive and good Christian disciples. The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful body of water. Many lives were touched by Jesus along its shores, and those lives went forth to touch other lives. The question we should ask ourselves this morning should be, Is there an ample amount of outflow in our lives to keep us fresh and beneficial for others to follow Jesus? If not, let us ask God to help us touch somebody today with the overflow of Christ's love in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful God, our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so much by enabling us to come to you, to acknowledge you, to worship you, to trust you, and to follow you. And this inflow of your goodness, O Father, we appreciate so much, but ask that we may also be able to impart others. Make us true disciples of your word, so that we may be able to gather the many out there and bring them into the fold. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen.